This is actually part two of a two-part sermon, which we started last week entitled Passages. Appropriate enough when we have a new child with us. Passages that have created the church. The text we used last week was the story of James and John, sons of Zebedee, being called away from their father's fishing business, to essentially start the church. A passage from security driven by faith to who at the time knew what it would be. Well, that's characteristic of all passages, all rites of passage or moments in our lives when we change our status from youth to adult, single to married, from being the parent of no child to the parent of a child. And Gail Sheehy defined these moments, these passages, as the temporary suspension of security. Well, that was certainly the case for Zebedee, the father of James and John, as his sons left the security of the family business. And I don't think they even knew it at the time, but they went off to start a church. They went off to institute and constitute what we now know as the Christian faith. Certainly something done in a way that could be characterized in lots of ways, but probably not secure. It was the temporary suspension of security that started our church, that developed our faith, the faith in which we baptize. And I suspect Gail Sheehy's definition of a passage occurred to you, if not in that way, certainly makes sense to you now, the day that child was born, a temporary suspension of security. Your life changed irretrievably. And everything you do, every decision you make, is filtered through the needs of this child. It's nothing new. There was a day when you showed up. And that was also the case for the people who gave you life. And it's in that context that I want to read the text for this week, which are, in effect, Jesus' last words to us. These are the words he spoke to his disciples immediately prior to ascending into heaven. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." The last thing Jesus told us to do was to do what we just did, and that is strengthen in numbers his holy church. Leah is now a member of this congregation, and it is in this place that we are all reminded that we're a family. That's why we baptize, to create and sustain and strengthen this social organization, this institution in our society we call the church, started through the temporary suspension of security from the 12 disciples, recreated every time we reenact the sacrament of holy baptism, and done for a purpose. The church is an integral part of a successful society. The United States federal government pays us to stay in business, and there's a reason for that. They pay us through tax benefits. And there's a reason for that, because we as a church, as a congregation, as a religious community, provide a very powerful source of social support. Social support to people who are going through rites of passage. We are the source of security when security is suspended in people's lives. There's an interesting way, several interesting ways this works out. Scholars who study the relationship between religion and health, and I'm one of them, and I have many colleagues that do this, have noted that in rather subtle and sometimes very specific ways, there's a positive relationship between religion and health. Religious people are, in some sense, healthier than non-religious people. And the vector for that, the reason that that shows up when we measure this empirically, is this notion of social support. In very personal ways, church people care for people who are in trouble. Church people go sit with people who are struggling, who have, through illness or injury, become housebound. And it's the sitting with and the being with that actually produces greater levels of strength and health for the people involved. It also gives the other caregivers a break, and they can go tend to their own business and renew and strengthen themselves. And it's this additive effect of being with that actually elevates the overall health and life of people who are connected to churches. And it's that connection that makes us well. It's that connection that keeps us strong. And it not only works in the individual sorts of ways of sitting with or bringing soup to or sharing time with one-on-one, which happens a lot in churches like this, but it also helps hold our country together when things go haywire, or our communities together when terrible things happen. It was no accident that in Blacksburg, Virginia, a couple of weeks ago, the first thing that community did when the horror hit them was get together and worship, get together and pray, get together and hold each other up using many religious symbols. Similarly, right after Pearl Harbor, right after 9/11, all of us are more tightly tied together through this social support that comes to us as a result of having a church, of having church people with whom to share the burden. And it is always the case that the most important passages in our lives, where security is thrown up for grabs, that the church is typically there through the creation of a church service where it doesn't exist in the aftermath of a tragedy. And 3 days after 9/11, the United Spirit Arena in Lubbock, Texas was full of people worshiping God, holding each other close, holding each other up. But it's also the case that at every particular rite of passage, the shortly thereafter aftermath of birth, well, we want the place to get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. We need a little bit more new life in here. And to strengthen our role in community, we bring Leah into it because we know she's going to help us out later. As children grow up, whether through confirmation or the acquiring of a driver's license or through the graduation from high school and college, we commemorate that and assign them greater levels of responsibility. And we do that as a church. As couples seek to solidify their relationships, as two become one, or more accurately, two become three, they remain who they are, but they create this coupleship, we have holy matrimony. Marriage is celebrated and helps to strengthen us all. So also, through each course of and at each passage in our lives, we also commemorate and celebrate the end of life. We give thanks for the witness of those who've gone before us, and we draw strength from their continued presence among us. So James and John and the other disciples started the church by suspending the security of working in their father's fishing business. That church continues to be strengthened and sustained by, among other things, the sacrament of holy baptism, so that we can provide and be a part of what our community needs, social support. And finally, there is an enduring constancy or never failing presence of the church. In the midst of passages, the church remains the same in many ways. An interesting image that I want to share that I didn't know until last week. We were discussing in the course of presenting Wilson Cash with a Bible that marks his passage from high school to college, in effect, a kind of late childhood to early adulthood passage. We've placed in his hands the Holy Scriptures. Now, in the longer version of the baptismal liturgy, and we don't do longer versions in this church, there's a question that comes to parents that asks them, will you faithfully bring this child to the services of God's house? Will you place in her hands the Holy Scriptures? Will you teach her the means of grace and the principles of God's church? And then you say, we will. Well, we're taking that on faith that you will. But it's the placing in her hands the Holy Scriptures that I want to talk about for just a minute, because that's a symbol of the church's constant and enduring presence. I learned last week that as we were talking about the Bible we gave to Wilson, that this church has been doing that for quite some time. Been doing it for at least as long as your mother has been in this church, and that when she graduated from high school, the women of this church, some of whom are sitting in this room, placed in your hands the Holy Scriptures, a little white Bible. That has been a part of your family for Well, for as long as you've had it. And that same Bible was placed into the hands of one Macy and one Megan as they joined their lives with Russ and Michael. That same Word of God that has sustained you through times of great joy and great sorrow remains the same. And I was pondering the possibility that there may come a day when this little red-haired girl, in whose name we are all named, may at one point have in her hands placed the Holy Scriptures, maybe that particular version of the Holy Scriptures, as she may walk down this aisle with someone she comes to love, and joins her life in a way that continues to sustain all our lives. Now, I have to tell you, on the subject of weddings, that when we lit this candle, I wanted to make sure there was nothing in the area that was flammable. Because we know these passages sometimes have their moments. But I also have to tell you that if someday this wonderful child grows up and maybe carries that same Bible down an aisle of this type, we won't need a candle. We've got red hair. That may have come from the same place for all I know. The point, folks, is that there is a constancy and consistency that is the result of the promise Jesus made. The very last thing he said to us is, "Behold, I am with you always." And as she is with us, and as we are with her, and as we are with each other, we get a glimpse today that it really is true. That as children of the Heavenly Father, we are safely gathered in his arms. And he will keep us strong. He will protect us from harm. Anytime we experience the temporary suspension of security. So we appreciate having the opportunity to share it. We're all a little bit stronger. And we're all a little bit ever more sure that, well, that Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Amen. And may the peace of God, which goes far beyond what we could possibly understand, keep us safe and strong and tied together by his love. Amen.